Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome. You are listening to Steel Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. It is what I love to do is sit here with you. And I tell you, I learn a lot from all of you every time you call in. I have been here for a long time, and I remember all the phone calls, you know, not all of them, of course, but so many of you that would call in. It was so amazing. So tonight we're going to do some open phone topics. I'm so looking forward to that. Jonathan, it's been a long time since we've done that. So joining me, of course, is Jonathan Lowe every night. And I got to start out by saying Vikings, period. That's all I need to say is Vikings.
That is the word right now. Oh. They had a very bad start to the season, but they have come back. And the way they're playing right now, especially with their recent pickup, Joshua Dobbs, the quarterback that they got in a trade from Arizona.
A big difference, yeah.
He's made a phenomenal difference. And the way he's played the last week plus, or the last game plus, because he didn't start last weekend. He was supposed to be the emergency guy. He just got in on Tuesday, so he didn't know the playbook. He wasn't supposed to know the playbook.
But he did.
But the guy is an aerospace engineer.
Right. Brilliant.
Graduate. That's what his degree is in. He's a rocket scientist, folks. He's a rocket. Do not screw this up, Minnesota. You have
exactly
a rocket scientist as a quarterback.
Bravo.
When you say this ain't rocket science, like, check out the quarterback of the Vikings. He might say it is.
Yeah. And who was responsible for making the final decision that he's in?
That he's here?
Yeah, that he's here.
It was, to be honest, he probably should not be here because he was only brought here as an emergency because Kirk Cousins got hurt. So if Kirk Cousins doesn't get hurt a week and a half ago or a couple weeks ago,
this wouldn't have happened.
This trade would not have happened. Mm-hmm. So it took some misfortune. But the Vikings saw that they had a need. They did not have a quality backup quarterback. And so they had to go to the market. And fortunately for them, again, the timing of this was big as well, because if this had happened last Sunday instead of two Sundays ago with Cousins getting hurt, the trade deadline for the NFL was a week ago Tuesday. So it was 2 weeks ago that Tuesday.
Right.
So if Cousins got hurt last Sunday instead of two Sundays ago, they couldn't have traded for Dobbs.
You know what hurt me is that Cousins, of course, you know, I mean, what his Achilles, right?
Was his Achilles, yeah. Poor his Achilles.
Yeah. And I kept saying to myself, my goodness, what an awful time for this to happen, right? And people used to talk about him early on when he became the quarterback. And I remember people saying, I don't like him. And Cousins, I don't know. I don't think he's the one. You remember those days?
I remember them. They happen continually. They continue to happen.
They kept screaming about it.
Yes, they continue to talk about that, and I understand why. He just hasn't shown up big in the big moments, and that's what people are afraid of. They're like, okay, he can stuff the stat sheet. He can get all these great stats, but when it comes down to time to win the big game at the big moment.
Even in the last year?
Yes. Yeah, even when they were winning all those one-score games, there were fluky things that were happening.
Were they just smart?
No, it was fluky. There were some fluky things that happened for them to win. The Buffalo game, that was a fluky win. They had to have the largest comeback in NFL history to beat Indianapolis, who was a bad team last year. They had some fluky things. I'm serious.
I know that you're serious. Yeah. It's just that it's all bad news. I mean,
I'm just saying it wasn't. They weren't world beaters and beating the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers, the top of the NFC. Mm-hmm. They weren't beating them consistently and looking good doing it.
There was a stomp down with Dallas today, huh? Was that right?
Dallas stomped on the New York Giants.
Stomped on them, man. It was painful.
Yes.
And then I saw Jerry. What's his name?
Coach? Jerry Jones, the owner?
Yeah, the owner. Yeah. Exactly. He used to be the – was he always the owner?
He's been the owner since the late 80s.
No. The coach?
No. So in the late 80s, Jerry Jones bought the Dallas Cowboys, and he bought them from – I'm trying to remember. Jimmy Johnson.
There you go.
Jimmy Johnson was the coach under Jerry Jones's ownership early on.
But he was the coach.
Yes,
and it was so great to see him today in the game.
He's in the studio now. He's a studio.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I had a chance to actually see him. We were just talking about it, Rick and I. And I was saying to him, I said, man, I remember him. He was there for a long time. And then all of a sudden, he popped up on the screen. So I was happy to see that, to see how he's doing.
Jimmy Johnson got a raw deal in Dallas, especially considering, and some people know this and some people don't, Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson were teammates on the same football team at the University of Arkansas. They were college teammates. Wow. And so Jerry brought Jimmy in, and they won a couple Super Bowls, and then it all went sour, and Jimmy left and went to Miami.
Yeah, Dallas, five of the big game that they've won? Right?
Oh, the Super Bowls?
Yeah,
they've won, I believe it is five or six.
I want to say six. Okay, because
they won three.
Whoever's going to win get a dollar.
They won three in the 90s.
I hope I don't win.
I think they won three in the 70s.
Now, if anybody would like to call in and join on our conversation, you're welcome to do so at 651-461-9226. Again, that's 651-46. Do I have that right?
651-461-9226.
I had it right. Thank you. So you can give us a call and let us know what you think about all of this, because I get really excited when the players play their hearts out, of course.
You're right. They have five. I couldn't remember whether they won two or three in the 70s, but they won two in the 70s and three in the 90s. So Dallas has five of them.
Right. Five of them.
Yes.
And I only know that because my honey knew that. I mean, he's like an athlete himself, and he knows all of that stuff, and I know very little about it. So I'm getting it.
New England and Pittsburgh are the only teams that have six Super Bowl wins.
Only the two?
Yep.
Hey, now.
Yep. San Francisco and Dallas have five. Green Bay and the New York Giants have four.
So when do people start deciding, we know exactly who's going to win the Super Bowl this year? When does that start happening? They already know?
I don't think they already know.
Why do you say that? No, get on there and say it. Why do you say that?
I don't think they already know. They don't know until, really, I don't think they know until middle of January, to be honest. There are people that will think they know.
Yeah.
But this is why sports happen, is because the unexpected can happen at any time. It really can. It really can. I'm serious.
Okay. The unexpected.
Yes.
Give me an example.
The New York Giants going up against the New England Patriots when the Patriots were 18-0. Mm-hmm. When they were 18, they had not lost a game. They won all the games in the regular season. They won their two playoff games. They were going to become the greatest team of all time. Tom Brady leading the offense. Mm-hmm. Randy Moss, they traded for Randy Moss and got him in the fold. They had Wes Welker in the fold. Wes Welker at the time. The defense was still really good. They were going to be the greatest team of all time. Giants upset them. There was no shot that the Giants had to beat them, but they upset them.
Mm. And that was enough.
That was, yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely.
That's amazing. And
those
I know how
happen.
That feels. I mean, just journaling, okay? In my life, I've had that moment where I didn't feel like I was worthy, that I was good enough. One time. And the person that was sitting next to me, there was a woman who came to hear me just to say, hey, I think that, you could really go and do things. You know, I'm thinking about working with you. And then she said, but nah, I just think, you really can't sing. She said that to me. You really can't sing, Geraldine. And the guy I was with, I was married to, he started screaming and saying, oh, no, 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 you didn't lost your mind. You have no idea who you are. You should leave the table. Never, ever come to see us again, ever. And I thought to myself, oh, okay, so that's how it works. So I've really learned how to keep up my understanding of myself, right? I trust me. Whatever I'm doing, I trust me. Oh, I'm so sorry. We got to go.
One of the biggest, real quick, one of the biggest cliches in sports is nobody outside of our locker room believed us. Nobody outside of our locker room believed we could win this game, believed we could compete, but us in the locker room. Right. It's one of the biggest cliches in sports.
Mm-hmm.
70% of the time, it's not true.
It's not true. That's what you're going to say?
70%
no,
of the time.
Where do you get 70% from?
Because most of the time you look at these people and they're like, nobody believed in us. Nobody. Like, really? 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 You had a 50-50 shot. Come on. Really? Nobody believed in you? There are times when, yes, nobody believes that they will win, but it's rarer than you think. That's why it's a cliche, because everybody uses it.
Well, that's why I'm so excited this year for the Vikings. I mean, it's amazing
what's
happening.
I'm telling you, something's cooking with this guy.
Big time. It also includes the team. It's not just that some people say that one guy is the one that made the difference. Maybe he did. Maybe he is making the difference. I would agree with that. But I also want to say thank you so much to all the rest of the team that can help in any way that they can, right? They're coming together. They're excited about him, too. So, you know, that's exciting. We got to take a break, y'all. We'll be back in a moment.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele, and I have been learning a lot about sports from two men in my life. That's Jonathan Lowe. He doesn't want to be known as a man in my life, but he has been my in-studio producer for, oh, my God, how many years? About nine?
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It really has.
There was a break in there, so it's, yeah. Right. I'd say nine's about right.
Right, and my honey. So between the two of y'all, I'm learning a whole lot about sports, okay? So now we have a guest, not a guest, but a listener who wants to join in and talk about Vikings and everything else. So Gary from Brooklyn Park, let's talk about sports. What do you say?
Hey, Dylan, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. And you know what? I believe that the Vikings have got a good chance on at least making the playoffs. I think that they've got a good chance at it.
How do you know? What are you expecting right now?
I think that it's the attitude of the team, that they're playing like a team right now. I think it's all the players. I don't think it's just a quarterback. I think that they're playing like they feel that they can win.
Yeah, and, you know, that's how it all works, really. It really has the – you have to have the faith that it's going to happen, right? You got to believe. You got to believe that you can actually do what you've planned to do. That's the bottom line. So then when you look at our team –
one other comment.
Go ahead.
I'm glad that you brought back the call-in time for us. That's a big part of your show where we'd be able to get to talk to you and have our experiences and our comments. Thank you for doing that. And, you know, 27 years, we're looking forward to the next 27.
I know. Thank you so much, Gary. And by the way, thank you for calling in. And we're going to do a lot more of call-ins right here on Steele Talking. Take care of yourself.
Right on. Thank you.
Take care. All right. We're going to we have to just talk a little bit about a really interesting article that came out about Taylor Swift. Now, I am not a Swiftie. Jonathan, you a Swiftie?
No.
Okay. So I'm not a Swiftie. Let's make that very clear. But I think she's very talented. This woman, or I should say when she was a girl, she was writing hits for other artists. She's remarkable. There's an article that says at the very, it's the headline is Taylor Swift showed some serious PDA, public. Yeah, you know what that is. He doesn't want to say it, but it's the truth. Public display of affection with Travis Kelce. And her fans are loving it. I was surprised to read that, Jonathan, because her fans are really loving that. I wonder.
I think that I'm don't at me, people. Don't at me on X or Twitter or whatever, or Facebook or Instagram or what. Don't at me. Coming from an outsider's perspective, I believe that all Taylor Swift fans want, other than to be a part of her world and her music, is for her to find love, everlasting, deep love.
And everlasting, so, deep love.
Yes.
Everlasting. Is there such thing as everlasting love?
I don't know. Right? I would not be the one to ask about that. No.
Well, I'm counting on it.
Yeah.
I'm counting on it.
So
go ahead.
So I think that whenever she was dating, you know, list the name of a guy that she had been dating in the past, I think deep down, most of them, they really wanted it to work out. And they really wanted her to have her happy ending, her princess ending.
Yeah.
It just hasn't happened.
Yeah, she dated some singers.
Yes, you know, she's dated some singers. She's dated a couple of actors. Mm-hmm.
And that's why, go and get your choice, honey. Why not? You know, some people will say, oh, it's just so terrible. She's dating so many different guys, or, you know, any of the big stars. Oh, my gosh, they moved on to somebody else. That's ridiculous. Some of us have all done that at some point in time in our lives.
Yes.
You just make a choice, and you don't know what everybody is going through, right?
No, not at all.
Right?
Not everyone finds their soulmate when they're in high school and stays with that soulmate through all that time.
I didn't.
It's rare, and it's great when it happens, but it's rare. And so, you know, you go through life, and you see different people. You'd see different partners, and you try to find the person that fits, and that's what she's doing. That's all she's doing.
Well, this dude is fitting. Okay, so Taylor Swift she was in her Lover era on Saturday when she kissed Travis Kelce following one of her Argentina shows on the Eras Tour.
Yep, Eras Tour. Yep.
Okay, so videos circulating social media show Swift running up to Kelce before kissing and hugging him after the concert at Buenos Aires Estadio River Plate. Now, when I'm reading this, I'm thinking to myself, why is this news?
Because we live in a celebrity society.
Not all.
No, I don't care. I don't care if you care about it or not. If you live in this country, you live in a celebrity society.
I disagree with that. I want to open the phones for that because I really disagree with that. The number is 651-461-9226.
You can try to
hide. That is 651-461-9226. And let us know if you agree with what Jonathan said.
And you can also, by the way, you can also text in. If you don't want to call, you can text in. We'll get the text line up here and read if any of those come through. Again, you can hide from it. You can distance yourself from it. But living in this country, unless you live under a rock, you have a tangential presence.
Okay, for the
are celebrity obsessed.
But the superstars, I would say yes to that, right? Super, like Beyonce and, you know, the superstars, yes. I agree with you. However, the bottom line is we know what's going to happen when people are starting to climb, you know, up. A lot of times they will fall into what others have done.
Sure.
Right? Many will fall into that.
Yeah.
But then there are those who don't. I remember J-Lo. You remember she was the one that everybody talked about all day, every day for, what, 3 years?
It hops.
What was his name? What was his name?
You had Ben Affleck
Affleck.
And then you had Mark Antony, who she was married to.
Is it Affleck?
Ben Affleck. Affleck, yes. Not Affleck. Not the duck. Not the insurance commercial with the duck.
Affleck. We're going to have to call
with
on
an
Jesus
e,
if
not,
it's the duck.
Not,
come on.
Not Ack with an A, Eck with an E.
Mm-hmm. Right, I agree with that.
And so, now they're back together.
They are. I heard that they're not married, though, yet.
Married. Yeah, they're married.
What?
They're married.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they're married. Been for, what, 3-4 years?
So they got back together.
I don't think it's been that long, but really? it's been at least, I think it's been around a year. They've
Somebody's
been back together for about 2 or 3 years.
I happen to like them together. I really enjoyed watching their love life and their love language.
Go get it.
I really did. I thought that was a beautiful thing. But J-Lo.
Go get it. Mazel tov.
Go get it? Did you say go get it?
Yeah. Do what you got to do.
If you want to join us and make a statement, or you want to send us a text, that'll be fine at 651-461-9226. We got to take a break. We'll be back. It is now 7:34 here at WCCO. Welcome to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele, and it is what I love to do is be here with you on a Sunday night. You know, I was looking through and perusing the newspapers and that sort of thing, trying to figure out what I want to talk about tonight. And I have to tell you, snowflakes. Yeah, a lot of people are talking about, when is it going to snow? When is it going to do it? When are we going to get real snow on the ground? And I look around in our neighborhood where my mom lives. Oh, man, there's leaves everywhere. And to get those leaves up, and those trees are not done releasing those leaves. I mean, what do? You just have a bunch of snow leaves. So,
well, you get them up as soon as you can before the heavy snow does fall, because then they're going to get trapped under there, and you could have some bad stuff happen to your lawn if you have the snow covering leaves and covering the lawn. So you want to try to get those.
So I thought the worst.
From what I've heard, you want to get
those. So it's better to have snow down and then no leaves, or I'm sorry, snow down on the ground and then the leaves on top of the snow, or is it better to have the leaves on the ground and snow cover it?
No, you want to have the leaves on top of the snow so you could get those leaves up and pick them up. The least amount of leaves you have on your lawn, the better.
Yeah. Well, the leaves have been rough, man. I mean, we're going to have to get a guest on to talk about that. It's been really rough already in certain communities. And I just look at it. It's just piles and piles and piles of leaves. And I think it's so beautiful. But what is it going to do? Is it going to damage the you know, soil? So we'll get someone on to talk about it.
Yeah, there are some people in town that are, you know, landscapers or, snow, you know, those type of people. We can get absolutely, because there are going to be different ways that you can. If you have them piled up, you don't just need to have them stacked there. There are different ways you can reuse them or get rid of them.
Unless you're on a hill. If you're on a hill of some, you know, just enough hill to have to run down or something, you know, to the sidewalk, because then the leaves are just going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that.
Well, then you got to get, there's ways to get rid of them so that they're not piled up.
Come on over, man.
I didn't say I could do
it. Yeah, you can do it. Just bring a few rakes and we'll give you all the bags to do it.
Labor services are not pending.
Oh, no,
they are non-existent.
Not, are you sure?
Yes.
Are you positive?
You're looking at.
I pay you for it?
You're looking at a non-labor person right here when it comes to the leaves. Non-labor.
There you go. Okay, I want to talk about woke Wisconsin. Did you see this article by any chance? This is in the Daily Mail out of the UK. And it says, woke Wisconsin council sparks outrage after instructing staff to avoid red and green decorations in public buildings and replacing religious ornaments with snow people. What the heck are they talking about? Snow people. What is that? Snow people?
Snow figures. You know,
snow figures like what?
Maybe
a snowman?
A snowman or a snow woman, just, you know, just
replace
more generic
it with
things.
That?
Say it again?
They're saying we could replace it with that.
Yeah, more generic seasonal things more than religious things, more secular stuff. Snow or icicles or that sort of thing.
Yeah. So if you want to join us tonight, you are welcome to call us. We'd love to have you join us at 651-461-9226. Again, that's 651-461-9226 if you have any comments about this. I get really tired of this. You know, every Christmas it seems now that people are complaining about, oh, too many Christmas trees with, you know, Christian things. You remember when it was the atheist with the, oh my goodness, what is that totem pole? That's it. There were totem poles that were, you know, kind of in different places in Minnesota. So people didn't have to worry about celebrating Christmas without a tree, right? I don't understand why this is still a challenge. So the Christmas ornaments, there are Christmas ornaments all over the Twin Cities, all over, all types of it, made of different types of wood and ceramic and you name it, plastic, everything. They have rocket ships with Christmas on it. Is that a sin? Is that like a horrible thing? No.
I think this is something that gets into inclusivity. And again, my opinion, Christmas people, don't at me. Do not at me. when I know this is a country that is based on Christian Puritan values with the people that created the country, put together the Constitution, all of that.
And some of that is questioning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you have a country that has so many different religious sects, religious faiths, mm-hmm. when you're talking about Judaism and Islam mm-hmm. and atheist and Sikh and all these different Hindu, all these different
and Christian,
mm-hmm. yeah, and different sects of Christian, you know, Baptist, Lutheran, mm-hmm. Protestant
denominations, yeah,
Catholic.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna have things where you're saying, okay, we celebrate this, but we don't have anything to celebrate what I am.
Okay, so what do you celebrate?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying as a general. Okay. I celebrate Christmas, more basically Christmas. Mm-hmm. I don't celebrate Hanukkah, but I know quite a few people that do celebrate Hanukkah.
Yeah,
and
I do too. Yep.
Even though it is known to be celebrated, it's not. It hasn't been, I don't want to say foisted upon us, but you don't hear, you know, hey, come here for your Hanukkah celebration as much as you say, hey, come here for Christmas Mass. You don't have Kwanzaa shopping. You have Christmas shopping. You know, there's stuff that's so tailored to the day of Christmas that other people have said over time, I just feel left out. I just feel like there's nowhere for me to go because everything is Christmas, 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 Christmas. And so we've done, I think, a better job of saying holiday season with Hanukkah, with even though most people don't celebrate this or don't recognize it, Kwanzaa, New Year's, Christmas, all rolled into one, winter solstice. And so when you have that, when you're trying to give something to something else, kind of taken away a little bit of attention from the main thing that was there. And I think there are people out there that say, no, we need to focus this back on the main thing that we want to focus it on.
Okay, so there's one thing I want to reiterate from last Sunday, is that we talked about this. I really believe especially in Minneapolis, you know, if their downtown council would just put up the Christmas trees in different locations, right? It could be two blocks from each other, which would be perfect. Bring your families. One tree has something with Hanukkah. One tree has, you know, atheists. One tree has this, this, and this. And we can go down that list and have it in all parts of Minneapolis. All parts of Minneapolis. And that way, the children and the parents would learn more about each of these faiths, right? Instead of talking about it at the church, oh, yeah, we don't want to deal with those people, you know, or we don't want to have Christmas with those people coming, you know. It's really quite remarkable to me. I don't understand why we don't do that here, especially in Minneapolis.
I think it's difficult to get everybody together on the same page for that. I really do. It's not just do we have the space to do it? It's do we have enough support from people in the neighborhoods, in the districts? Do we have enough support for us to do this, or are they going to think of it as, why are you wasting your time on that?
No, why can't we look at it as, we want to support you. We want you to see this. We want you to know this. We want your children to know this. We're hoping if we can even include, let's include the children in school, right? Let's say the teachers come up with a one page is about the holidays in December, right? The holidays for Christmas, Hanukkah, all of that, and have them talk about it. Even if those children come home with two sentences to say, Mom, I learned about this. I learned about that. I didn't know about that. Tell me, do you guys know about that? The bottom line is that it could be an entrance for us to actually come together. Bigger, better, knowing that we know more about the people who don't look like us, the people who don't talk like us, right? What if the children can see something from all of our eyes when it comes to the holidays? Why not? We don't have any problem, it seems, with Valentine's Day. It's all about love. But then why can't the holidays in December be about love as well? So if the teachers could just come up with an idea of how to bring this to fruition, especially with the children and the parents involved, the teachers involved, the principals involved. Yes, it is a lot. And it's too late for that this year. It's too late. But I've been talking about this with other people for about 3 years. And I'm hoping that somebody will at least look at it. If I'm wrong, if there's too much for it, or you say, oh, no, it's going to cost a lot. And how do we get to keep the children safe downtown Minneapolis? And, okay, let's do it during the day. Let's get the buses out there. Get out of the bus. You go with your teachers and the people who are making sure the children are safe. And you go to a tree. And if they want to put on anything that their parents have, if they are Jewish, you want to put something on that tree that denotes that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be amazing. And I would love to hear from you. If you want to call us and let us know what you think about this idea, I would love that. 651-461-9226.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
She said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
It is now 7:34 here at WCCO. Welcome to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele, and it is what I love to do, is be here with you on a Sunday night. You know, I was looking through and perusing the newspapers and that sort of thing, trying to figure out what I want to talk about tonight, and I have to tell you, snowflakes. Yeah, a lot of people are talking about, when is it going to snow? When is it going to do it? When are we going to get real snow on the ground? And I look around in our neighborhood where my mom lives. Oh, man, there's leaves everywhere. And to get those leaves up, and those trees are not done releasing those leaves. I mean, what do? You just have a bunch of snow leaves. So,
well, you get them up. That. Get them up as soon as you can before the heavy snow does fall, because then they're gonna get trapped under there, and you could have some bad stuff happen to your lawn if you have the snow covering leaves and covering the lawn. So you want to try to get those.
So I thought the worst.
From what
part
I've
was,
heard, you
so
want to get those.
So it's better to have snow down and then no leaves, or I'm sorry, snow down on the ground and then the leaves on top of the snow, or is it better to have the leaves on the ground snow covered?
No, you want to have the leaves on top of the snow so you could get those leaves up and pick them up. You don't. The least amount of leaves you have on your lawn, the better.
Yeah. Well, the leaves have been rough, man. I mean, we're going to have to get a guest on to talk about that. It's been really rough already in certain communities. And I just look at it. It's just piles and piles and piles of leaves. And I think it's so beautiful. But what is it going to do? Is it going to damage the you know, soil? So we'll get someone on to talk about
this. Yeah, there are some people in town that are, you know, landscapers or, you know, those type of people. We can get absolutely, because there are going to be different ways that you can, if you have them piled up. You don't just need to have them stacked there. There are different ways you can reuse them or get rid of them.
Unless you're on a hill. If you're on a hill of some, you know, just enough hill to have to run down or something, you know, to the sidewalk, because then the leaves are just going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that.
Well, then you got to get, there's ways to get rid of them so that they're not piled up. And,
great. Come on over, man. Yep. Come on over.
I didn't say I could do
it. Yeah, you can do it. Just bring a few rakes and a whole, we'll give you all the bags to do it.
Labor services are not pending.
Oh, no,
they are non-existent.
Not, are you sure?
Yes.
Are you positive?
You're looking at
I pay you for it?
You're looking at a non-labor person right here when it comes to the leaves. Non-labor.
There you go. Okay, I want to talk about woke Wisconsin. Did you see this article by any chance? This is in the Daily Mail out of the UK. And it says, woke Wisconsin council sparks outrage after instructing staff to avoid red and green decorations in public buildings and replacing religious ornaments with snow people. What the heck are they talking about? Snow people. What is that? Snow just people?
Snow figures. You know,
snow figures
of,
like what?
Maybe
a snowman.
A snowman or a snow woman. Just, you know, just
replace
more generic
it with
things.
That?
Say it again.
They're saying we could replace it with that.
Yeah, more generic seasonal things more than religious things. More secular stuff.
Yeah.
Snow or icicles or that sort of thing.
Yeah. So if you want to join us tonight, you are welcome to call us. We'd love to have you join us at 651-461-9226. Again, that's 651-461-9226 if you have any comments about this. I get really tired of this. You know, every Christmas it seems now that people are complaining about, oh, too many Christmas trees with, you know, Christian things. You remember when it was the atheists with the, oh my goodness, what is that totem pole? That's it. There were
yes.
totem poles that were, you know, kind of in different places in Minnesota. So people didn't have to worry about celebrating Christmas without a tree, right? I don't understand why this is still a challenge. So the Christmas ornaments, there are Christmas ornaments all over the Twin Cities, all over, all types of it, made of different types of wood and ceramic and you name it, plastic, everything. They have rocket ships with Christmas on it. Is that a sin? Is that like a horrible thing? No.
I think this is something that gets into inclusivity. And again, my opinion, Christmas people, don't at me. Do not at me. when I know this is a country that is based on Christian Puritan values with the people that created the country, put together the Constitution, all of that.
Some of that is questioning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you have a country that has so many different religious sects, religious faiths,
mm-hmm.
when you're talking about Judaism and Islam
mm-hmm.
and atheist and Sikh and all these different Hindu, all these different...
And Christian. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and different sects of Christian, you know, Baptist, Lutheran, mm-hmm. Protestant.
Denominations, yeah.
Catholic.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have things where you're saying, okay, we celebrate this... But we don't have anything to celebrate what I am.
Okay, so what do you celebrate?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying as a general.
Okay.
I celebrate Christmas, more basically Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't celebrate Hanukkah, but I know quite a few people that do celebrate Hanukkah.
Yeah,
and
I do too. Yep.
Even though it is known to be celebrated, it's not it hasn't been... I don't want to say foisted upon us, but you don't hear, you know, hey, come here for your Hanukkah celebration as much as you say, hey, come here for Christmas Mass. You don't have Kwanzaa shopping. You have Christmas shopping. You know, there's stuff that's so tailored to the day of Christmas that other people have said over time, I just feel left out. I just feel like there's nowhere for me to go because everything is Christmas, 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 Christmas. And so we've done, I think, a better job of saying holiday season with Hanukkah, with even though most people don't celebrate this or don't recognize it, Kwanzaa, New Year's, Christmas, all rolled into one, winter solstice. And so when you have that, when you're trying to give something to something else, kind of taken away a little bit of attention from the main thing that was there. And I think there are people out there that say, no, we need to focus this back on the main thing that we want to focus it on.
Okay, so there's one thing I want to reiterate from last Sunday, is that we talked about this. I really believe especially in Minneapolis, you know, if their downtown council would just put up the Christmas trees, in different locations, right? It could be two blocks from each other, which would be perfect. Bring your families. One tree has something with Hanukkah. One tree has, you know, atheists. One tree has this, this, and this. And we can go down that list and have it in all parts of Minneapolis. All parts of Minneapolis. And that way the children and the parents would learn more about each of these faiths, right? Instead of talking about it at the church, oh, yeah, we don't want to deal with those people, you know, or we don't want to have Christmas with those people coming, you know. It's really quite remarkable to me. I don't understand why we don't do that here, especially in Minneapolis.
I think it's difficult to get everybody together on the same page for that. I really do. It's not just... do we have the space to do it? It's do we have enough support from people in the neighborhoods, in the districts? Do we have enough support for us to do this, or are they going to think of it as, why are you wasting your time on that?
No, why can't we look at it as, we want to support you. We want you to see this. We want you to know this. We want your children to know this. We're hoping if we can even include, let's include the children and in school, right? Let's say the teachers come up with a one page, I would say one page is about the holidays in December, right? The holidays for Christmas, Hanukkah, all of that, and have them talk about it. Even if those children come home with two sentences to say, Mom, I and Dad, I learned about this. I learned about that. I didn't know about that. Tell me, do you guys know about that? The bottom line is that it could be an entrance for us to actually come together. Bigger, better. Knowing that we know more about the people who don't look like us, the people who don't talk like us, right? What if the children can see something from all of our eyes when it comes to the holidays? Why not? We don't have any problem, it seems, with Valentine's Day. It's all about love. But then why can't the holidays in December be about love as well? So if the teachers could just come up with an idea of how to bring this to fruition, especially with the children and the parents involved, the teachers involved, the principals involved. Yes, it is a lot. And it's too late for that this year. It's too late. But I've been talking about this with other people for about 3 years. And I'm hoping that somebody will at least look at it. If I'm wrong, if there's too much for it, you say, oh, no, no, it's going to cost a lot. And how do we get to keep the children safe downtown Minneapolis? And, okay, let's do it during the day. Let's get the buses out there. Get out of the bus. You go with your teachers and the people who are making sure the children are safe. And you go to a tree. And if they want to put on anything that their parents have, if they are Jewish, you want to put something on that tree that denotes that? Wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be amazing. And I would love to hear from you. If you want to call us and let us know what you think about this idea, I would love that. 651-461-9226. Or you can text us at that number as well. 651-461-9226. All right, we're going to take a break. And please, if you want to join us, feel free. Welcome back, everybody. I feel like singing tonight, so put up with me if you can. You're listening to Steele Talkin'. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. It's always a pleasure to be on with you on a Sunday night, so thank you so much. The voice that you've been hearing is Jonathan Lowe, is the producer on Sunday nights, and we've been working together for a while now, and I really enjoy his take on it. A lot of times we don't agree, but there you go. So if you ever want to call in, all you have to do is, or either send a text, 651-461-9226. We'd love to hear from you. I want to talk as we wrap this up before the 8 o'clock hour. I want to talk about AI, artificial intelligence. And I kept asking myself the other day, how in the world did we get to this point? Okay, so there's lots of information about that. I don't need to talk about it. However, artificial intelligence examples is what I found. And it really surprised me. Like, what inventions have AI created? I was surprised at this short list. Manufacturing robots, okay, that makes sense. Self-driving cars, heard about that. Smart assistants. Healthcare management, wow. Automated financial investing. Virtual travel booking agent. Virtual travel booking agent. Social media monitoring. Marketing chatbots. That's a lot. And I thought it was just a short list. But now you look at it, you think, well, what else is on the list, right? Examples of the what we need to know. But before we go into this, I want to get a caller on. Her name is Susan. She's from St. Louis Park. How you doing, Susan?
I'm good, Jalen. How are you?
Hey, now. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And so what do you want to talk about?
I just wanted to agree with you that we need some really good things for the holidays, like trees that celebrate, you know, where people can celebrate different faiths and add decorations instead of arguing about what's the right way to do it.
What would you say is the right way to do it?
I like your idea.
Thank you.
We have trees around and people can add whatever decorations they want. I just really appreciated that you were proactive in that idea instead of people in the background saying, we can't do this, we can't do that. You know, if we can have some happy celebrations around the holidays, especially in Minneapolis, it would be really good.
Isn't it amazing how we lost so much of that? How it all went away for a minute. You know, there are certain areas where it used to be so many beautiful decorations for Christmas, right? And some people disagree with it and most people agree with it. And okay, we can compromise. I'm really good at compromising, right? Right, Jonathan? I'm really good at it. Yeah, see, he's not saying anything. He turned his back to me. Good Lord. So, but it's true. You know, if we just try to do this, I think it could really, I really believe with all my heart, it could work, and not only just work, but do some healing in our state. It doesn't matter who, what we believe in, as long as it's not hurting people, right? My thing is to make sure that I spend time with others and listen to what they believe. And I think if we all kind of did that, wouldn't that be amazing? Amazing.
And Sharon, the other thing I agree with you on is go Vikings.
Oh, yeah, right.
I haven't always been a big Vikings fan, but I am so happy they're on this winning streak, and despite all the adversity.
Right. You know, I just wish one thing, Susan. My whole thing is please, please, please allow them. If they mess up, don't get mad at them and start cursing them. Oh, they're so stupid. Oh, God, it's those same, you know, things they've been doing. Stop doing that. Let's encourage them, right? Keep them going. Yeah,
yes.
You can do this. And even if you mess up, stand up strong, honey, and go for it again. Right? That's what I say. Thank you so much for calling tonight. I'm so grateful that you did.
I love hearing your voice.
Thank you very much. You take care of yourself.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It is now 7:55. As we wrap up this hour, I am very curious about AI, and I am also somewhat afraid. I can't say that I think about it every day. I can't say that, oh, this is really troubling me. What I can say is that I don't quite get it. And so I'm trying to learn more about AI, and it's not easy. There's so much on the computers, right, that give us information about AI. And still, there are points that I don't get. I don't get it. It's almost as though, you remember I used to say on the radio many years ago, I've been here 27 years, and I keep saying to myself, oh, you know, you guys, we have to really stick together and figure out, you know, all the new things, the newfangled things that are coming. But AI is not a newfangled thing. It's been around for a while. I don't know, Jonathan, do you know when it first came on the scene? Do you know when that happened for AI?
I mean, you probably have to think about that with just computation machines, which you could look at a calculator, you could look at the card reading machines that they would use that IBM came up with mm-hmm. back in the mm-hmm. I want to say the 40s and the 50s. It's probably been around since around World War II, I'd say.
Yeah, they're actually saying that
probably before.
Yeah, I was just looking this up, and it says since 1956, the summer of 1956 conference at Dartmouth College, funded by the Rockefeller Institute, is considered the founder of the discipline of AI. So that's a little bit of history. I would love to have more information, so I got to go deeper. There you go. It's been a pleasure being here with you already for this first hour. And coming up next, we have some guests. We hope that you will enjoy them, and let's have some fun. Welcome back, everybody. I feel like singing tonight, so put up with me if you can. You're listening to Steele Talkin'. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. It's always a pleasure to be on with you on a Sunday night, so thank you so much. The voice that you've been hearing is Jonathan Lowe, is the producer on Sunday nights, and we've been working together for a while now, and I really enjoy his take on it. A lot of times we don't agree, but there you go. So if you ever want to call in, all you have to do is, or either send a text, 651-461-9226. We'd love to hear from you. I want to talk as we wrap this up before the 8 o'clock hour. I want to talk about AI, artificial intelligence. And I kept asking myself the other day, how in the world did we get to this point? Okay, so there's lots of information about that. I don't need to talk about it. However, artificial intelligence examples is what I found. And it really surprised me. Like, what inventions have AI created? Created. I was surprised at this short list. Manufacturing robots. Okay, that makes sense. Self-driving cars. Heard about that. Smart assistants. Healthcare management. Wow. Automated financial investing. Virtual travel booking agent. Virtual travel booking agent. Social media monitoring. Marketing chatbots. That's a lot. And I thought it was just a short list. But now you look at it, you think, well, what else is on the list, right? Examples of the what we need to know. But before we go into this, I want to get a caller on. Her name is Susan. She's from St. Louis Park. How you doing, Susan?
I'm good, Jalen. How are you?
Hey, now. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And so what do you want to talk about?
I just wanted to agree with you that we need some really good things through the holidays, like trees that celebrate, you know, where people can celebrate different faiths and add decorations instead of arguing about what's the right way to do it.
What would you say is the right way to do it?
I like your idea.
Thank you.
We have trees around and people can add whatever decorations they want. I just really appreciated that you were proactive in that idea instead of people in the background saying, we can't do this, we can't do that. You know, if we can have some happy celebrations around the holidays, especially in Minneapolis, it would be really good.
Isn't it amazing how we lost so much of that? How it all went away for a minute. You know, there are certain areas where it used to be so many beautiful decorations for Christmas, right? And some people disagree with it, and most people agree with it. And okay, we can compromise. I'm really good at compromising, right? Right, Jonathan? I'm really good at it. Yeah, see, he's not saying anything. He turned his back to me. Good Lord. So, but it's true. You know, if we just try to do this, I think it could really, I really believe with all my heart, it could work, and not only just work, but do some healing in our state. It doesn't matter who, what we believe in, as long as it's not hurting people, right? My thing is to make sure that I spend time with others and listen to what they believe. And I think if we all kind of did that, wouldn't that be amazing? Amazing.
And Sharon, the other thing I agree with you on is go Vikings.
Oh, yeah, right.
I haven't always been a big Vikings fan, but I am so happy they're on this winning streak, and despite all the adversity.
Right. You know, I just wish one thing, Susan. My whole thing is please, please, please allow them. If they mess up, don't get mad at them and start cursing them. Oh, they're so stupid. Oh, God, it's those same, you know, things. Stop doing that. Let's encourage them, right? Keep them going. Yeah, you can do this. And even if you mess up, stand up strong, honey, and go for it again, right? That's what I say. Thank you so much for calling tonight. I'm so grateful that you did.
I love hearing your voice.
Thank you very much. You take care of yourself.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It is now 7:55. As we wrap up this hour, I am very curious about AI. And I am also somewhat afraid. I can't say that I think about it every day. I can't say that, oh, this is really troubling me. What I can say is that I don't quite get it. And so I'm trying to learn more about AI. And it's not easy. There's so much on the computers, right, that give us information about AI. And still, there are points that I don't get. I don't get it. It's almost as though, you remember I used to say on the radio many years ago, I've been here 27 years, and I keep saying to myself, oh, you know, you guys, we have to really stick together and figure out, you know, all the new things, the newfangled things that are coming. But AI is not a newfangled thing. It's been around for a while. I don't know, Jonathan, do you know when it first came on the you know, on the scene? Do you know when that happened for AI?
I mean, you probably have to think about that with just computation machines, which you could look at a calculator, you could look at the card reading machines that they would use that IBM came up with back in the I want to say the 40s and the 50s. It's probably been around since around World War II, I'd say.
Yeah, they're actually saying that.
Probably before?
Yeah, I was just looking this up, and it says since 1956, the summer of 1956 conference at Dartmouth College, funded by the Rockefeller Institute, is considered the founder of the discipline of AI. So that's a little bit of history. I would love to have more information, so I got to go deeper. There you go. It's been a pleasure being here with you already for this first hour. And coming up next, we have some guests. We hope that you will enjoy them, and let's have some fun.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.